It's 10:30 at night, and the Tekla has just pulled into Dutch Harbor. Biologist Tom Gillette is finishing up a two-week stint with his team. They visited 35 sites to count sea lions, from the furthest west point on the Aleutian Chain to Unalaska.
So my job is to try to figure out how many there are, where there are, and if there are declining, what are those threats? What are the things that are limiting the recovery of Stellar sea lions?
Gillette collects data the old-fashioned way, by hand-counting sea lions, but he prefers using aircraft, high-tech drones, or a twin otter plane to capture photos of rookeries and haulouts. His big question, why is the population of Stellar sea lions in the western Aleutian Islands declining, while the animals are doing well in other parts of the state?
We honestly do not know why, because the animals that we see out there appear to be quite healthy. They're quite large. We don't see dead, dying animals on the beach. We just don't see the numbers. They just aren't there.
The decline of Stellar sea lions dates back to the 1970s. Over 24 years, the population of the western stock plummeted 75%. In 1997, the federal government listed Stellar sea lions west of Kayak Island near Cordova under the Endangered Species Act. Today, the eastern stock is rebounding at a rate of about 3% a year since the 1980s, and those sea lions are no longer on the endangered species list. But sea lions in the west are still struggling, and Gillette says the count is a factor that determines whether the animals stay endangered.
Under the Endangered Species Act, there are some pretty stiff protection measures that are in place to protect Stellar sea lions, which often compete with the fishery.
Until the population rebounds, federal restrictions like prohibiting fishermen from harvesting the full allowable catch will stay in effect. According to John Govin of the Alaska Seafood Cooperative, those restrictions have a big financial impact on fishermen in the region.
You know, these are multi-million dollar gross revenue fisheries. I still think the measures in place are in the $10 to $20 million of revenue reduction, would be my guess.
Govin says the fisheries that take the biggest hit are for Atka mackerel and Pacific cod. He says the fishing industry is not opposed to restrictions, but he also says right now there is not a lot of evidence that fishing is having any negative impact on sea lions.
You know, the fishing industry wants to do what it can to protect Stellar sea lions, but at the same time, we aren't convinced that fishing is really what's affecting sea lions out there, and the science is hardly straightforward on that.
For the most part, Gillette agrees. Govin is probably right. There is no hard evidence commercial fishing is to blame for sea lion decline. He says lots of factors could play a role.
Obviously, there are predators like killer whales that take Stellar sea lions. There's also issues with perhaps climate change and change of habitat and the availability of prey, the warming of the oceans, something that may have nothing to do with commercial fisheries.
And it's hard to pinpoint a culprit because all those threats may be acting separately or together. But Gillette says the mystery keeps him coming back.
It's interesting that we have an animal that has been studied for a long time and we know a lot about, yet because they are so difficult to work with and so far away, some of the basic ecology questions that we know about other large mammals are really difficult to get.
On this trip, Gillette's team has amassed vast amounts of data, including more than 300,000 photos that they'll have to sift through. So for now, he says we'll all have to stay tuned. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.